Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
Once again, this morning, if you would open your Bibles with me quickly to Acts chapter 8. And I am going to minister a word that God put on my heart. And we may have to break this up into a couple sermons, but I do want to preach to you about the need. Someone say need. It's not hard to drive around and see the need. As I open, before I read the message, I do have to say that God is really doing something in my heart, in that my brother and my sister-in-law are here. It's good to see them too, by the way. They are family. She is from the Philippines, born and raised there, and she came here when you were how old? 20 years old. And then my brother, even before meeting his wife, he actually went on a missions trip, went to the Philippines and Thailand. So, we believe in the need. Amen? So anyways, what I was going to say was we were in Seattle, and it was beautiful because as I was walking, I haven't had this happen to me in a long time. How many know that we see people all the time that are hurting, holding up signs, and they ask for money? Who's ever done that, right? And I, how can I say that? I want to be sensitive, but sometimes I look at people and I'm like, Mama didn't raise no fool. I know that if I give you money, you're not using it for food. But I was walking in Seattle, and God is my witness. I seen this young man, and immediately I felt the Holy Spirit upon me, and I kid you not. He was standing there, and I looked, and something just caused me to turn around. And I started talking to the young man, and I started ministering to him. And we prayed for the young man. And after, one of the men that were with me took a picture, and I was standing there talking to the man. It was a picture of my oldest son watching me, and he had a concerned look on his face. And what was heavy was after we ministered to this young man, we prayed for him. My son came up to me and said, Mommy, Daddy, can we do this once a week? Can we go out, not only feed the homeless, but tell people about Jesus? Ain't that beautiful? How many know we're called to tell people about Jesus? Amen. So this morning, I'm going to preach to you a very simple word. I'm not going to be very long. Acts chapter 8, the Bible says this in verse number 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go. Someone say, go. Go towards south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So Philip arose and went, and behold, someone say behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him in his chariot. Verse 32, the place in the scripture where they read was this, He was led as a sheep to be slaughtered, and as a lamb before a shear is silent. So he opened his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. This is talking about Jesus. So in verse number 34, it says, So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the scriptures, preaching Jesus to him. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to take control this morning. Father, we ask you to do something new. Minister through my life. I pray that we would see and feel the need when we walk out of here. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. So this morning, I just want to speak to you briefly about the importance of understanding the need that is around us and the need that is in our world. Today, our country is more divided than we have ever been. Right, it's not hard to look around and see and read the news, but if you were to look at the news about what's going on worldwide, I would dare to say that we're living in days and times where there's a lot of fear and a whole lot of troubles. Somebody wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. Now, for the follower of Christ, for those of us who believe, we have a responsibility to tell others that there is hope, right? I'm reminded that about 19 years ago, someone came into my neighborhood and told me about the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Today, you've seen Pastor Art come up here, and he did a presentation on United We Can, and he began to tell you a lot about his life and what he's done and what God has used him to do. But the reason I asked him to give that presentation is because they were actually pastors in Surrey, Canada for over 17 years. And Pastor Art was a man who had gone through a recovery home. He was a gang member, and God got a hold of his life. But now he is able to preach the gospel for Jesus. 25 years later, he has dedicated his life to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, church, if there's one thing that I think that the church needs to be aware of, what changes people is not good songs. It's not encouraging words. It's not the Facebook posts we put. Be encouraged. Your life is going to change around. Right? Right? How many know that? I read those posts. I get more angry than I do happy. Right? You see everybody's life and picture perfect, and they show you the 10th selfie, not the first selfie. Come on, somebody. Right? And people have a tendency to show us their good side, but the truth is we're living in a day and age where people are hurting. Do you know how many people go to work and they put on their game face? But at night, at the end of the night, and especially if you have children, you go home, and when you fall asleep, it is pure chaos. Come on, somebody. Trying to put the kids to bed is not easy, right? You have people that are self-medicating and doing whatever they can to find peace. But this morning, you have to understand something. Peace is not found in the absence of problems. Peace is found in the presence of God. There are too many people that are medicating their problems away, but this is the problem with medication. And I'm not talking about just drugs. I'm talking about go to the doctor. Tell them you have anxiety. Go to the doctors. Tell them you have something. My back hurts, and they'll give you something to take your pain away. But we're living in a day and age where people need to know Jesus. People need to know that there is a way out of their situation and that there is hope. See, the reason I chose to bring up this story this morning and preach to you about what was happening in Acts chapter 8 was because it's a very significant event that happened in Acts chapter 8. When you look at the scripture, the Bible tells us that an angel of the Lord came to a man named Philip, and he gave him specific instructions. The Bible tells us the Spirit came upon him and tell him, arise and go south along the road which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, sometimes when you read the Bible, we read the story and we really don't go into the story, and we think that it was just a simple request. But the truth is this, when Philip, who was considered the first missionary or first evangelist, when the Spirit came upon him to tell him to get up and go, it wasn't a simple request as we read it. As a matter of fact, there was a lot of insight within this story, and that's what I want to unpack. So here you have this man named Philip. The Holy Spirit tells him, get up and go south. Now, the phrase go south doesn't mean south in direction. If you really look that up and you translate it, it means to go to at noontime. The actual direction was him going from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, this didn't make sense for a number of reasons. Number one, the reason it didn't make sense for him to get up and go was very few people were known to travel in the desert in the middle of the day. The reason why nobody traveled in the middle of the day was because it was very hot. Someone say hot. This is why the Bible emphasizes, it says, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down to Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So here you have the Bible putting emphasis on where he was going and the time of day he was going. So it didn't make sense. Second, it didn't make sense for Philip to go from Samaria down this road because Philip had a very successful ministry in Samaria. If you were to read the beginning of Acts chapter 8, you would read that Philip went into the city called Samaria and revival broke out. The Bible tells us that he began to preach the gospel and people began to get healed and people started giving their life to the Lord. So here you have the Holy Spirit now telling this man, I want you to leave the successful ministry that you have. I want you to leave your comfort zone. I want you to leave all you've ever known and I want you to just get up and I want you to go into the desert. I mean, oh, it didn't make sense. I bring this up to tell you that sometimes when you're following God and you're pursuing the Lord, God will sometimes ask you to do things that don't make sense. Somebody say amen. Amen. I remember 2006. God had me do this two times in my life. In 2006, I remember my pastor, I was there a part of the Victory Outreach Church in Hayward where I served for about 8 years. And I'll never forget that one day my pastor met with me, or the regional pastor, and he said, hey, what do you think about moving to Seattle? I don't think about that at all. Right? And I was like, where is he going with this? Right? But here I was, at the time I was a youth pastor, I had committed my life to reaching the youth of my city. I thought I would serve in that church for the rest of my life. I had a heart for the city of Hayward. But I'll never forget that he said, I want you to pray about moving to Seattle. Now, it didn't make sense, but it kind of made sense. I got to be honest. Because I had already met my wife and laid eyes on her. Come on, somebody. Right? I remember I met my wife for the first time. I said hello to her. Right? And I remember I was like, it was one of those, hi. So you're Jessica. I tell the story to the men all the time that when I met my wife, you know, I was focused on doing the will of God. I didn't want no distractions. But I remember I went out that night with a bunch of the young adults, and she'll tell you the truth. And we teach this type of stuff in marriage and even when you're dating. So if you're single, listen, we'll teach a class soon. But I remember she caught my eye and I had the butterflies. Come on, somebody. Come on, don't look at me like that. But I remember that night I didn't even look at her all night, right? Because I was focused. So anyways, back to the story. 2006, they asked me, what do you think about moving to Seattle? I said, I don't think about moving to Seattle. He said, I want you to pray about it. So I went and I prayed for 1 week. And I remember that the Lord spoke to me very clearly, pack up and you're supposed to move to Seattle. Now mind you, I knew nobody out here. I didn't know where I was gonna stay. But 3 weeks later, I packed up my clothes, I told my job I was gonna quit, and I was gonna move to Seattle. It didn't make sense at the time. But little did I know that God would not only marry me to a beautiful, beautiful woman, but I didn't know that I would become a pastor of a city that I had never heard of in the city of Tacoma. See, it didn't make sense at that time to come to Seattle. And then this happened to me again in 2014. I was working in Seattle. I had a very good job. We owned a home. And I'll never forget, my pastor asked me in September. He had mentioned, hey, there's a need for a pastor in the city of Tacoma. And I remember thinking, well, I got my house here. I work in Seattle. But here we went again. I prayed to the Lord. I said, God, what would you have me do? And you know what the Lord spoke to me? That I was supposed to move from Seattle and move to Tacoma. I had already been here close to 8 years, and I have only been to Tacoma like 3 times. Once again, God was putting upon my heart to move. So you know what we did? I prayed with my wife. We came down to the city of Tacoma, and we took over a hurting church, a church of about 10 to 15 people. And I didn't understand it at the time, but you know what else didn't make sense? Quitting my job to pastor a small church. Why am I telling you all of this? I'm telling you because sometimes God will ask you to do things that do not make sense. And sometimes if your desire is to grow, you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone and you're going to have to do things you've never done before. There are some people, they are so caught up in their own little world, they never stretch the boundaries of their faith. So what happens is they live in this little world and they're frustrated and they feel like they're running on a spiritual treadmill. God will sometimes ask you to do things that don't make sense. Are you hearing me? But here's the good news. When God guides you to do something, that means he's with you. It didn't make sense for me to come to Tacoma, but I remember praying and I remember asking God. I said, God, I will go to that city and I will do my best to pastor that church on one condition. You have to go with me. It's been 4 years and I think we're barely scratching the surface. When I look at what God has done in some of the families, some of your families that are here, God has healed you. God is restoring. And I believe we've been able to touch a lot of people, not because we're great, but because we were willing to meet the needs of the people around us. What am I trying to tell you this morning? Church, there is a need. There is a need not only in the city of Tacoma, but I have a heart for Pierce County. There are people that need to know that there is a way out of their circumstance. There are people in Spanaway. There are people in Olympia. There are people in Federal Way. There are people right across the bridge in Gig Harbor and in Bremerton that need to know that there is a way out and that his name is Jesus. See, in order for the gospel to advance, God's people need to move out of their comfort zone, because the kingdom of God will not be built on comfort and convenience. The kingdom of God will advance from a place of courage and commitment. God wants to use your life. God wants to use your story to bring him glory. Some of you, you don't have to know the word. You know what I love about this story? Here you have this prominent man. He's searching. He's traveled from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. Do you know how far that was? It was approximately 2,147 miles. So it wasn't just a small trip. This man was in search of truth. And what makes this story amazing is that Ethiopia and Egypt used to be the enemies of God. And here you have this man, he's searching. And here you have Philip, he runs up to his chariot and he tells him, do you understand what it is that you're reading? And he says, no, how can I understand unless someone explains it to me? See, it didn't make sense for him to get up and go in the middle of the desert, in the middle of the day, during the hottest part of the day. But God knew that there would be a prominent man traveling during that time. So God set up what I like to call a divine appointment. Are you hearing me? It didn't make sense, but watch what the scripture says. The Bible says, arise and go. Philip went, and the Bible says this in verse number 27, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, that was in charge of all the treasury, he was there. You know, whenever you read the Bible and you read the word behold, it normally speaks of a transition, or it prompts us to pay careful attention to what's happening, because what you're about to read is very important. See, what happened that day when Philip found the courage to go to a place he had never known? He had come in contact with a man who was in search of truth. Now, God may ask you to do something that doesn't make sense, but when he asks you to do something that doesn't make sense, what you have to understand is that when God asks you to do something, there is normally a plan attached to his request. It didn't make sense for him to go, but here he came into contact with a man. Watch this. The Bible says that was over all the treasury. This wasn't just another man. This man was equivalent to being the second in command of all of Ethiopia. And guess who was called to minister to him? An unschooled, uneducated man that was full of the Holy Spirit. See, you don't need to know every scripture in the Bible. You don't need to know all the education, the foundations of faith. If God has done something within your life, all you have to do is preach Jesus to them. Are you hearing me? When Philip seen this Ethiopian man, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon him. And the Bible told him, go overtake that chariot. Now, this wasn't a simple request. The reason it wasn't a simple request is because running up on this chariot was like you running up on the mayor of our city and overtaking his vehicle. Here he was doing something he had never done before in a country he had never gone to before. And watch this. Philip was able, with the Holy Spirit's power, he was able to overcome all social and cultural barriers. And we need to possess that quality within us where we got to learn to break social barriers, man. We're living in the day and age where we are more connected than we've ever been. We can look at people's profiles, but you know what the danger of Facebook is? Being a Facebook warrior? Right? The problem with that is it's making our generation socially awkward. When I grew up, we drank water from the hose. We played outside. We knew our neighbors. Today, what happens? We put them in front of a device, right? Or the older generation, they show everything. The problem is you have people that have an average of 425 friends. That's the average. You know, the average person spends 30 to 45 minutes on Facebook every single day. Here we are more connected than we've ever been, yet you have the highest rate of depression, suicide, anxiety the world has ever seen. Why? Because we're socially awkward. We don't know how to break cultural or social barriers. Now, listen, I'm not saying that we all got to be chipper and all out there. I'm out there, right? I'm crazy. I'll talk to anybody. Hey, what's up, right? That's who I am. That's how God made me. When God calls you, he doesn't want you to become all holy. People trip on me. They see me at a football game, or I ask people to come over, and they're like, man, we didn't talk about the Bible one time. I said, no, I asked you to come watch the game. I didn't ask you to come for a Bible study. What am I doing? I'm trying to teach people how to live life normally. Right? But today we have this social awkwardness, and this is the truth. If the church is going to be effective, we're going to have to learn to break social barriers. We're going to have to learn to break cultural barriers, and we're going to need to overcome our own complexes. Are you hearing me? My discomfort in breaking my complex is worth it if someone else gets their healing. It's weird sometimes talking to somebody. It's weird sometimes to pull the guy over that you ever see somebody, you're like, man, they're going through it at the grocery store, and you just want to say something nice to them, right? I do this with waiters all the time and waitresses all the time. I call them by their name, and I say, hi, how are you? How was your day? I have conversations. It might seem awkward, but guess what? They might have walked away, man, they were nice to me. And then God somehow opens a conversation, and we've made a new friend. Are you hearing me? What am I trying to tell you? Church, we need to be people that need to shift our focus outward. We're not victory in reach. We are victory outreach. Our plan and purpose is to preach the good news to those that are hurting. I don't have another plan. You know what we do with the men that come into the home? We preach to them Jesus. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the evening, and Jesus in the afternoon. I'm not trying to make them a holy roller, but what I am trying to tell them is that every answer that they need, every problem, every barrier within their life can be found within this book. The answer and the antidote to their problems are found within the Bible. Well, how do you know that, Pastor Eric? Well, about 19 years ago, I walked into a church. Our whole family was tore up. Generational curses of alcoholism, generational curses of adultery, generational curses. And all I knew is that we ended up going to a church, and it was a service like this, and I heard a message like this. And I remember sitting there like in the eighth row, and then the preacher at the end said, if you want to change, if you want a new life, if you're battling depression, I simply want to pray for you. I remember I was on the verge of suicide. I had just got back from New York. I was high for like 17 days. I wasn't even a drug addict. But for 17 days, I went through something crazy, and then here I am at this church. I don't remember much, but you know what I do remember? I remember lifting my hand and saying, would you pray for me? And I remember a man by the name of Richard Prieto came, and he laid his hands on me. And as I sat there, I just began to weep, and all of my pain and all of my suffering had just come out. I started weeping here within this church. I didn't know what was happening to me, but you know what God was doing? He was starting to heal my heart, and I felt something I never felt before. I felt the hope and power that comes attached to Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? Listen, church, we need to reach people. We need to reach families. You don't even got to go far. Just reach the people at your neighborhood. Reach the people at your job. Because truth be told, the last thing we need is to hear that someone committed suicide and we were close to them, but we didn't even see it. Because we're so focused and locked into our world. Are you hearing me? I thank God for men like Philip. Like the man that we're reading in the Bible. Here he was successful in his own city. in the city of Samaria. But he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells him, get up and go. And he goes. And lo and behold, he comes in contact with this man from Ethiopia. Are you hearing me? As Brother Luis comes up, listen to me, church. This is what the Lord was ministering. I'm going to read this to you, and I'm going to say you a point, and we're going to close. This is what the Bible says. Acts chapter 8, verse 30, Philip, the Bible says, after the Holy Spirit told him to go, watch this, Philip ran to him. He ran to this Ethiopian eunuch. He heard him reading to the prophet Isaiah. And listen to what he says. Do you understand what you are reading? Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I unless someone guides me? And watch this. And the Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip to come up and sit with him. See, this man, the Ethiopian eunuch, you know what he represented? He represented another world that was far different from the people of Israel. You know what else he represented? He represented a man of prominence, a man of importance. And I was praying and the Lord was ministering to my heart. And you know what he was showing me? If we follow the Holy Spirit's guidance, we will be invited to sit in the most prominent places within our city. This man, Philip, was an uneducated man. He runs up on this chariot. And the man of prominence, a man that was like second in command over all of Ethiopia, he says, come up here and sit with me. You got to know this. Even people that look successful, they're hurting. Listen, depression, discouragement, drug addiction, it doesn't have any boundaries and it doesn't even care who you are. It will come and ravage a family. I've been asked, well, why? Why do you guys focus on the drug addict? We're not a drug addict church. I was never a drug addict. My wife was never a drug addict. No. What we represent is hurting people. But you know why we focus on the drug addicts? You know why we focus on the prostitutes? You know why we're willing to go into the places that nobody wants to go? Because Jesus said, go into the highways and byways. He said, I didn't come for those that need a doctor. I came for those that need healing. Listen, we have passion. We have passion to reach the lost. I have a passion to see families united. I have a passion to see my children grow up and not have to go through what they went through, what I went through. I have a passion to see some of your children. I end with this, why not us? How many are Seahawks? Where are the Seahawks fans at? Oh, come on. How many Seahawks fans do we have? I'm going to give you one last shot because when you watch that game, you know you're not that quiet. How many Seahawks fans do we have? All right. It's okay to be loud in church. Amen. When they first started getting good, a man by the name of Russell Wilson jumped onto the scene. The Seahawks were nobodies. Tickets used to cost $10. $10. Here you have this man that doesn't fit the quarterback mold. He's not 6'5", he's like 5'11", a couple inches taller than me. But during the season when they turned everything around, the reporters would come up to him and say, so what do you think? Do you think you guys can make it? You know what his answer was? Say it with me if you know it. Why not us? Why not us? I have a question for you. Why not us? Why not you? Why couldn't God raise you up to minister to the mayor? Why couldn't God use this church to raise up a ministry that would affect the high schools? Why not? I'm believing that some of our children are going to serve on city council. Why couldn't God use us to minister to the academic deans of the university within our city? I believe the day is coming where God is going to pour out his spirit and men that were uneducated and those that were educated are going to unite and they are going to reach the world for Jesus. I end with this thought. See, the encounter between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch was very important in the Bible. Let me explain to you why. It was important because Psalm 68:1 says this: envoys will come from Egypt. Cush will submit herself to God. And this is what you have to understand. This encounter between this man, Philip, and this Ethiopian was very symbolic and pivotal in the Bible. The reason why is because Egypt and the Ethiopians were ancient enemies to God. Egypt symbolized all the nations that had oppressed God's people. So when Philip went into the desert, when he went to a place that didn't seem right, he came in contact with the man, and when he ministered to him, he fulfilled Acts chapter 1 verse 8, where Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in the ends of the earth." See, up to this point in the Bible, the gospel had only been preached in Judea and Samaria, but it hadn't yet reached the other parts of the world. So when Philip came in contact with this Ethiopian eunuch, it was symbolic of the pagan world, and it was symbolic of the gospel going to other parts of the world. We're not your local church. We're not just a small church. We have a vision to plant churches, rehab centers, and training centers in strategic cities of the world. Some of you one day might go to another country. Let us never forget that missions and evangelism is the heartbeat of why Jesus came from heaven to earth. It was the reason he laid down his heavenly lordship and came as an earth 100% man, 100% God. Church, we're called to reach the world. Say it with me: we're called to reach the world. My pastor used to say, "Where in the world is Hayward?" Hayward was a small little city. You know what he would say? "The world is going to find out." He didn't say it with arrogance, but what he was saying was, we might be a small city. Listen, right now, we might be a small church, but the days are coming that I believe we're going to have our own building. We're going to have families from all walks of life. Listen, I want a church that is multicultural. Right? I want a church with every ethnicity. God forbid we ever get to a place where we're just one race. I'm not against that. But why not? God, we all got issues. We're all sinners saved by grace. But I want a multicultural church. I want a multi-generational church. What does that mean? Where we have those that are older, those that are old, come on somebody, those that are young, and those that are really young. The only way this can happen is if we go and tell the world about what God has done in our lives. I truly end with this scripture, Romans 10:13-15. This is what the Bible says: everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Watch this. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've never heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? We got to preach the gospel. We're not here to preach philosophy. I'm not here to preach to you what I think works. I'm going to preach to you what the Bible says. It doesn't make sense at the beginning, but I'll tell you this. It's been 19 years, going on 20 years, I've been walking with God. And every time I read my Bible, the more that I try to implement what it's actually telling me, I realize that I'm more successful. I'm more at peace. And the things I didn't know how to do, I now know how to do. Why? Because God has given us a manual to live by. This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to stand with me.